Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great, thanks. Hope you're all doing well out there, and it's great to be back with you to study God's Word and do a teaching from the Word and maybe open up some thinking that you haven't had before with some of these scriptures that we go over. And Stephen and I have been going through the book of Romans for, I don't know how long, a few weeks. And last week, of course, we had Rabbi Eric here to do a teaching about Messianic Judaism. And tonight we're going to be back in the book of Romans. And then probably over the next couple of weeks or so, we may do some sort of Advent Christmas stuff.
Yes.
But without Santa Claus.
Without Santa.
Right. No reindeer.
No reindeers?
Nope. Just Christmas in Bethlehem.
No sleighs?
No sleighs.
Oh, boy.
No sleighs in Bethlehem. Just donkeys and sheep and
cattle. Shepherds.
Anyway, so that'll be our Christmas season. And maybe, it's never too early to say, since we're sort of in the midst of the Christmas season from like the middle of October on, that,
yes.
You know, as Christians, as believers in Jesus the Messiah, if we're going to purport to celebrate his birth, let's all go out there and wish everybody a big Merry Christmas and not give in to the Happy Holidays crowd.
Yeah. Hey, hallelujah, brother.
Yeah. Just a little political commentary there.
There you go. Cards and letters to Phil at giftofgraceministries.org.
Yeah.
But no, as you're pointing out that, actually, before Thanksgiving now, I can see that people have their Christmas lights on.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't even Thanksgiving yet.
Yeah, like, that's right.
Wow, this is really early. So hopefully they'll keep it on through the the full celebration of the birth of our Savior. So
amen.
That would be nice.
Amen.
But he is the light of the world.
Amen.
He is the light that came into the darkness. So
amen.
Probably appropriate that there's some lights.
I think next week, maybe next week's show, we should talk a lot about light coming into darkness. And, the Advent season, most of you, I'm sure, that are listening are familiar with the fact that Advent is a season before Christmas where it's a time of reflection and repentance and anticipation of the birth of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And it symbolizes in Old Testament time the people waiting for Messiah to come.
Right.
And we as believers in Jesus the Messiah know that we celebrate this as kind of a Christian tradition, waiting for the feast of Christmas to come along. But when you think about it, we're also in a second Advent now, because we're waiting for him to come again.
Yes.
For the second time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been in that period, obviously, for a long time since he left, really. But here we are. We know that he is going to be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was going to be coming back. And the prophet said he was going to be coming back. And some of the angels in the scripture said, well, you know, he's going to be coming back, just like you saw him leave. And we're in that kind of a different Advent now. And it's really a time of harvest that's going on. We're waiting, but we're also working to bring in the harvest. And we've talked on this program many times about the harvest in the fields, the harvest in the water with the fish and the deep and so forth. And, you know, last weekend, I think Rabbi Eric did a great teaching about the Feast of Tabernacles being part of the harvest. And we're in a time waiting for the ultimate fulfillment of that feast, which is Jesus coming back again. And so we're really getting ready for that by bringing in the end time harvest.
Exactly. And the other part of it that we prepare for is we prepare our heart. We prepare a home for him, mm-hmm. that he's going to dwell in us even more fully than maybe is right now. Because mm-hmm. maybe there's things we're holding on to that we shouldn't hold on to that block that flow of God's love and grace in our life.
Exactly.
And, you know, the whole season of Advent is, as you said, it's twofold. It's one of remembering the advent of the coming of Christ in the time of Christ, that there was an anticipation of him coming, but there's also that anticipation of him coming the second time and returning. So the season of Advent is twofold in that regards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it is a time of purification, to purify our hearts, our minds from the things of the world. And in our, busy Christmas shopping season and all that other stuff, we can kind of lose that, because we're so busy preparing the home, the trimmings and all this other stuff, that it's healthy spiritually to take a step back from all that.
Yes, exactly.
And give yourself some time to reflect on the precious gift that came to us that night in the stable, in the person of Jesus Christ.
Wow. Well put.
Well, thank you.
Darkness breaks into the world.
Exactly.
And one of the people that was really influenced by that was Paul, I can't wait to meet.
Yeah.
Because, like, my first day in heaven, I'm taking him to Starbucks.
You're going to Starbucks.
He's like, I want a lot of stuff I want to talk to him about because he's my hero. He may not want to talk to me. He may say, who are you? Get away from me. But I want to take him to Starbucks.
No, he'll say, oh, you're that guy on the radio show that had that radio show that I always talked about me.
And I'll say, yeah, and I'd like to point out that you didn't have a radio show. But anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, we've, like we've said, the book of Romans is so cool because he does this beautiful exposition of the law and now grace has come onto the scene because of the sacrifice of Jesus, and that we're not saved by the law. The law can't save us. We can't keep the law. And so we have this free gift of grace. We have this righteousness of Christ that we're covered with that's apart from the law. We've gone through that in a few chapters, and we ended up last time at the end of Romans chapter 6 talking about how Jesus has basically was the second Adam and became obedient and did what the law could not do.
Right.
And then he went on in, that was chapter 5 actually. And in chapter 6, we went into, a thing about sin and how the wages of sin was death. But now we have eternal life through Jesus. And, you know, these concepts are commonly referred to as the Roman road. And when you're preaching the gospel to somebody who's unaware of these things, you know, you may be familiar with the saying of, well, just, you know, take them down the Roman road.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a way of summarizing exactly what Paul's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight we're going to just kind of continue with that. And then, like we just said, we're going to do an Advent and Christmas series probably over the next 2 or 3 weeks. But in chapter 7, you know, he continues with talking about the law, and he makes an interesting comment in the first couple of verses where he says that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. A woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. You don't hear that term too much anymore. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law. So she's basically free to marry another man. And Paul's making the point where the law, he's pointing out that the law has dominion over us up to the time of Jesus. People were under the power of the law. You know, they were, quote, married to the law. And the only thing that released you from the law was when you died. But now, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, the law, we're in a different position now because we're dead to the law. That doesn't mean that the law is not important. It doesn't mean that the moral law is not important. But we're dead to the ceremonial law. We're dead to the law being a taskmaster over us. And now we're, quote, married to another, who is, of course, the Christ, so that now we can bear fruit that's apart from the law. So that instead of being slaves to trying to follow the law and trying to follow all these things that are outlined, we now have this freedom that we have through grace, that we can bear fruit, we can work in the kingdom, we can preach the gospel, and not be bowed, you know, kind of bowed down trying to keep all these laws and worrying about how well we did in each category.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we're saved by grace and not by law.
Yeah, we're under that yoke. Jesus said, you know, take my yoke, for it is, my burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen. You know, I want to go, I want to go back into chapter 6 for a moment. At the beginning of chapter 6, Paul says, how can we who died to sin yet live in it?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. And I think, you know, when we're talking about Advent and being reflective of our life and making room in our heart, preparing a home for him in us, that his holy, that his Spirit can dwell within us, it's that newness of life that we come to when we receive the gift of salvation, when we receive Jesus as our Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he further says, for if we have grown into union with him through a death like this, we shall also be united with him in the resurrection.
Right.
You know, so you're talking about how we're under the law until death in, you know, in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But now that there's grace.
Yes.
That grace is what saves us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because he goes on a couple of verses later to say, you know, sin's not going to have dominion over you because you're not under law, you're under grace now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool because, as you know, you probably know the everyone knows the part of the Roman road that it's the wages of sin is death. That's pretty widely quoted, followed by the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, you know, what are, you know, it's interesting in that that's 6:23, Romans 6:23, and I'm jumping around a little bit here, but this is a good point because, you know, Paul says the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
But the gift of God is eternal life.
Right.
It's a gift. You know, when you have wages, you know, wages are something that's due to you from some work that you've done. But what he's saying here is eternal life is a gift. It's a favor. It's by grace.
Right. Because Christ paid the atonement.
Amen.
In his own blood.
Yes.
We didn't do that.
Right. So if we could be so good and so meritorious that we would get into heaven based on that, then that would be a wage that God would have to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'd have to look at you and say, you know, Stephen has done such an awesome job. He's kept all these laws perfectly. He's done everything I've asked him to do perfectly. He's never deviated even one millimeter from any of this. So therefore, I have to give him salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it becomes a wage.
Yes.
Because you do it.
You've earned it.
Yeah. Now, you know, I know you pretty well, and I'm thinking, you haven't done all those things. And anybody who knows me, like for the last 4 days, knows I haven't done that. So this concept that it's a gift, you know, the wage of sin is death, but
right.
The gift is eternal life.
Yeah, exactly.
So what you have is a situation where, you know, sinners deserve hell, But the saints don't merit heaven. It's, you know, it's given to us as a gift. Christ is in all. He's all in all, and he's purchased it, like you said, with his act of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the gift of eternal life. It's the good news of Christianity.
It's the gift of grace.
Wow. we probably have that as the name of a radio show.
That would probably be a good name for a radio show.
Yeah.
But that gift, as you said, you know, they don't merit it. In the church, we all need the church because the church is a place for sinners to go.
Right.
And we all qualify to be there because we're all sinners. And we need the blood of the Messiah. We need the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
To wash us and to purify us from those sins, which it does. And, you know, it is important as we, you know, as we talk about Advent and cleaning and getting ready, you know, in Ephesians, if we look at Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 7, Paul says, "In him we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of transgressions in accord with the riches of his grace, that he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He has made known to us the mystery of his will in accord with his favor that he sent forth in him as a plan for the fullness of times to sum up all things in Christ in heaven and on earth."
Mm.
You know, so this fulfillment in Christ and being, you know, in John chapter 10:10, Jesus says, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly,"
mm-hmm.
or have it to the full.
Mm-hmm.
And that fullness of life is a life in Christ. And as you're talking about the Roman road, you know, that's what Paul's laying out,
mm-hmm.
is this is what you had before.
Exactly.
You were under the law, and if you broke the law, that what you earned was a death sentence because you transgressed against God.
That's right.
And the only way that death sentence can be overturned is by the blood of the Messiah.
Amen.
And, you know, it's a call to, as we grow in discipleship of being a disciple of the Lord, you know, we're called to put on love, put on the full armor of God, mm-hmm. and renew our minds in the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's going to come later in Romans.
Yeah.
Chapter 12.
In chapter 12. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, the law as it's set out becomes kind of the schoolmaster or the taskmaster that drives you to the cross,
mm-hmm.
because you go to the cross and say, "I can't, I've failed. I'm a miserable failure."
Yeah.
And he says, "Okay, here you are, you know, come as you are."
Mm-hmm.
"You're a failure."
Yeah.
And so is everybody else who's come.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, as you're serving the Lord and taking that message of reconciliation, mm-hmm. out to the body of,
mm-hmm.
Christ,
mm-hmm.
It's a great privilege to do that,
yeah.
because we're all sinners,
yeah.
and we don't deserve to do that.
Right. Exactly.
But God does raise us up to do that. He gives us the grace to do that.
Yeah. In the second chapter of the Song of Songs, which that awesome song comes from too, "Dance with Me."
Oh yeah.
But you know, it says his banner over us is love. You know, his banner over all of this is love. You know, we remember that each of the tribes of Israel had a banner, and so everybody gathered around the banner, and
mm-hmm.
one of the names of God became, you know, the God of the banners,
mm-hmm.
Yahweh Nisei or Jehovah Nisei, the God of the banners.
Right.
Well, it says in the Song of Songs, his banner over us is love.
Yeah.
His banner is not law, it's not condemnation, it's not judgment, it's not, you know, failure. The banner's love.
Yeah.
And when you come to the cross, the law drives you to the cross, because when you realize I have really messed my life up,
mm-hmm.
then there's unlimited forgiveness and grace that's poured out.
Yeah.
And this is what Paul's is conveying through this whole book of Romans, in a very masterful way, that, you know, people that the Jews of the time should have really understood this,
mm-hmm.
although most of them didn't.
Yeah. They just didn't see it.
Yeah, they just didn't see it.
Their eyes weren't open.
Yeah. And it's, you know, he's going to say, you know, actually in 7:4, he says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. So we're not under the law. We're delivered from it. We're delivered from the power of the law, because what the law does is it curses and condemns and shows you that you're a failure, because the transgression is what's sin. And now by the sacrifice of Christ, you're taken away from that. Yeah. You're taken away from the condemnation. You're taken away from being a slave to the law. You're taken away from the law, like you said, having this yoke over you. You know, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you guys go out and you make converts, and then you put all kinds of stuff on them.
And don't lift, don't lift a finger to help them. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, in Galatians 3:13 later, he says, we're redeemed from the curse of the law.
Yeah.
Now, the law is given by God. The law is not evil, but the law can't save you.
Right.
It's not a thing that we can attain. So it literally, you know, tells us we should die, and we're delivered from that.
Yeah, because in verse 5 there, in chapter 7, he says, for when we were in the flesh, our sinful passions, awakened by the law, worked in our members to bear fruit for death.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and as you're talking about how this message that wasn't really, you know, some received it, but some didn't, people still struggle with it today, because the love of God is a free gift.
Amen.
And we're used to earning things.
Yeah, that's right. Especially in our country.
Yeah.
Ooh, I hear a break.
Yes.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first session of today's show. Remember, the Gift of Grace is on the internet at www.giftofgraceministries.org and also on Facebook. We'll be back with you in just a minute.
We will be right back with the Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word.
Lord, Most High.
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We're in chapter 7 of the book of Romans, and before we went to the break, Stephen read, actually, why don't you read that again, verses 5 and 6.
In chapter 7, sure.
Yeah.
For when we were in the flesh, our sinful passions, awakened by the law, worked in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, dead to what held us captive, so that we may serve in the newness of the Spirit and not under the obsolete letter.
Wow. What a way to put it. I mean, this is really awesome. I mean, he's talking about how the law itself can somehow kind of arouse disobedience in us. You know, it's like when you tell a little kid, whatever you do, don't go in that closet. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of hang around there going, I wonder what's in there.
What's in that closet? Yeah. Can't be that bad.
Yeah. And, it kind of provokes us. Mm-hmm. It kind of intrigues us. You know, the old saying of sin gives pleasure for a season, because it's like, wow, this looks really intriguing.
Yeah.
Or if I did that, I think it would be really kind of interesting. So when something's prohibited by the law, your human mind says, I'd like to just try that once. it kind of provokes you to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this is what he mentions in verse 5. And, you know, the law also, you know, it commands, but it condemns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do this, but if you don't do this, consequences. Don't do this, but if you do it, there's going to be consequences.
Right.
And it doesn't really offer you a positive cure. It's a don't do, do, don't do, do.
Right.
It's not a positive cure. It doesn't really provide for a healing.
Mm-hmm.
It provides for, you know, the atonement with the blood sacrifices and so forth. But it doesn't really provide for, like, a healing to come into you.
Right.
Because then, you know, the next day you got to take the animal again. Or the next week you got to take the animal again.
Yeah.
And you still have all these violations of the law that are kind of, you know, heaping up. And kind of, you know, at Romans chapter 2, which we didn't do, it's like all that stuff heaps up judgment. Because you keep accumulating faults.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really provide a comfort from that like grace does. Because grace gives you pardon, it gives you forgiveness, it gives you strength, it gives you encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's pointing out that we're under a covenant of grace through Christ rather than the covenant of law from Moses.
Right.
And he talks about how this is new life. We've been delivered from the law.
Mm-hmm.
We died to what held us so that we're in the newness of the Spirit. We're in a totally different situation than we were before.
Right.
We have new life. We have this encouragement and empowerment by the Spirit. And we're not in the old letter of the law.
Yeah. And it's by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus, the punishment that we deserved is taken away.
Yes.
So in that regards, the punishment of breaking the law is taken away.
Yes.
You know, it's like when we were talking about, I think a couple weeks ago, about Cain and Abel, and God's telling Cain, you know, why are you hardened of heart and crestfallen?
Yeah.
Sin's knocking at your door, but if you give into it, you know, if you do well and don't give into it, you can master it.
Yes.
You know, so there's always that. As you're talking about the law, how it rouses up, oh, I can't do that. You know, that's where we, through the grace of God, master sin.
That's right.
You know, and grow in relationship with God.
Right.
Because, you know, if you love someone, you want the best for that person.
Yes.
You want to do things that are going to help them. You know, and even Paul talks about, it's either in Colossians or Ephesians. I think it's in both of them where he talks about wives and husbands because,
yeah.
You know, wives are supposed to be obedient to her husband, but husbands love your wives as Christ loved the loved the church.
Yeah.
Because you don't, you're not going to do anything to your own body that's going to defile you.
Right.
Or that's going to, you know, taint the temple that you are for the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is precious, created by God, and it's a dwelling place for Him in this newness of life in Christ and in the Spirit, that the Spirit can dwell in us and abide, you know, we abide in God. Jesus, you know, as Jesus was saying, and I think it's John chapter 14 and 15, you know, abide in me and I'll abide in you and you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you'll bear nothing.
You can't do anything.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, and He's pointing out through those verses that we're in a different relationship.
Yeah.
You know, we're in a different covenant now. Not like before.
Right.
Because now we have a freedom and we have a comfort and we have a joy that we didn't have before.
We have a helper.
We have a helper.
An advocate.
That's right. We go from sort of the, you know, here's the law, here are the rules, here's the relationship, to crying out, Abba.
Yeah.
And, you know, Christ answered the demands of the law. You know, like we said before, he made satisfaction for the law. And, you know, the wrath was poured out on Him. And we're going to talk a little bit about this next week because it brings to mind a verse from Isaiah. But we don't have that yoke that was over us before, because it says, you know, that the yoke was smashed.
Yeah.
And that pressure from sin, and that's actually in Isaiah chapter 9, if you want to read ahead. But that yoke, the yoke of the taskmaster was smashed.
Yeah.
And so by Jesus answering, by keeping the law perfectly, by answering the demands of the law, and the wrath of the law basically being poured out on Him, that yoke that the law is was smashed.
Yeah.
So now we can bring forth fruit in a much better way, because now instead of having like this drudgery of, oh, you know, here's what I've got to do today and here's the order I've got to do it and here's where I have to stand when I say the prayer and here's the where I have to do this and here's where I have to do that.
Yeah.
We have a freedom.
Yes.
We have a freedom. And, you know, you all know the term the joy of the Lord.
Right.
And if you understand what Jesus the Messiah did, and how the Spirit then comes to dwell in you, and how you're filled with the Spirit, it becomes a joy.
Exactly.
So you're happy to serve, and it doesn't become a drudgery.
Right.
So we worship in joy, and we worship in freedom.
Exactly.
We don't say, oh, I better go to church, or else I'm going to be in big trouble. You say, I want to go to church.
Exactly. You want to have that relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know, as you're talking, it's bringing, there's a couple things in Ephesians that I want to bring up is the first one is in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to go a little bit out of order in the book of Ephesians, but he says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you once lived following the age of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
All of us once lived among them in the desires of our flesh, following the wishes of the flesh and the impulses, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love He has for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you.
Mm-hmm.
It is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast.
Mm-hmm.
For we are His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance.
Yes.
That we should live in them.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Wow. That follows perfectly from this. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. A whole new way to bear fruit.
Yeah. You know, it's through the Spirit, you know, and back in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 11, he says, in Him we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of His will, so that we might exist for the praise of His glory. We who first hoped in Christ, in Him you also, who have heard of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. which is the first installment of our inheritance towards redemption as God's possession to the praise of his glory.
Wow.
It's all about the glory of God.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
You know, and Paul just outlines it so.
Oh, this is awesome. Somebody last night at a Bible study I was teaching asked me that question along those lines and said, well, if there's all this stuff about the law, why did God give us the law? You know, why did he go through all that?
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting because God reveals his glory because of what we just read and what you just read by mm-hmm. giving us this gift of eternal salvation
yeah.
and providing the way to do it mm-hmm. and showing us how we fall short when we look at ourselves in the law. And, yeah. you know, Paul says it's like a mirror. We look at ourselves and say, ooh, I've mm-hmm. really messed up. I'm a mess.
Right.
I mean, we're a mess. You know, before I was a believer, I used to say, I don't want to go to church. They're a bunch of losers, hypocrites, weaklings. And of course, we all are. It's, yeah. But I didn't understand that before, you know. But now we see that that's where we are.
Exactly.
We're all in that boat. And those of us that come to the cross and say, "I know I'm a mess. Mm-hmm. You gotta help me deal with this."
Yeah.
Rather than walking around being a mess, saying, "I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm just going to be a mess."
Yeah.
A whole different outlook on life. But you know, the Spirit infilling you just brings this all out, just exactly as you said.
And you see that, at Pentecost when the Holy yes. Spirit fell upon the disciples in the yes. upper room and filled them yes. with this grace and power.
Yes. The yeah. law shows us our faults and our failings and our weaknesses, and it really brings you to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Pharisees are the example of people that say, well, I'm righteous. That guy over there is not righteous. I'm righteous.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm here wearing all the cool stuff, and I'm keeping the laws. That guy's a mess. He's not keeping the laws. He's not wearing the cool stuff. So therefore, he's a mess. I'm not a mess. But they didn't realize that they were a mess too.
Yeah, they were. I mean, that's why Jesus was saying, you know, you perceive the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't see the beam in your own eye.
Exactly.
Remove that beam first,
right.
And then
yes.
you can help your brother take the speck out of his eye.
And you know, I always love that passage because the Greek word for beam is like the weight-bearing beam of a house.
Yeah.
So I'm saying to you, oh, Steve, you have that little speck there in your eye, and I'm looking at you with like this big thing sticking out of my eye. Because that's just,
don't you see that gigantic like red oak sticking out of your head there with your
yeah?
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a pretty cool one, and you know he when we look back at the law, you know, the law was not an evil thing.
Right.
Because God gave the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy for us on this side of the cross to look back and say, oh, those poor people with that yeah. terrible law. But the law was given by God. It was a revelation of himself. It says, I'm holy. Here's my law.
Yeah. You know, if you want to be in relationship with me, keep these commandments.
Right. And it was designed to make us good. It
yeah.
was designed to make us holy. It helped us to recognize sin. But because of our shortfall, because of our nature, you know, it was meant to bring life, but it brings death.
Yeah.
Because we can't do it.
And even in John 14, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and yeah. he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit yeah. of truth, which the world cannot accept. Because it neither sees it or knows it,
right.
but you know it because it remains with you
right.
and will be in you.
Right.
So there's still that command to keep
sure.
the law, to
sure.
keep the commandment, to follow the word of God and live in a manner that is pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm. If we could all keep the law perfectly, you know, we'd have peace.
Right.
We'd have great relationships with each mm-hmm. other. We'd have a great relationship with God.
Right. The good news of Christianity is that if I fall short and I ask yeah. for God's forgiveness
yeah.
and I'm truly repentant from
yeah.
my heart,
right.
He's going to wash
yeah.
me of that.
It shows us our fault. It penetrates us. And, you know, because it's God's revelation. The law is a spiritual thing, but mm-hmm. we're carnal beings.
Yes.
We don't always say, oh, yes, it's so spiritual. Because our because our carnal selves go, I don't want to do that.
We don't think no, we don't
that.
We don't see it that
I
way.
I want to do this yeah. now. I don't want to do that. Yeah. I'm in rebellion.
Yeah,
and then when I recognize my rebellion, I can ask for forgiveness and say, oh, you know, I rebelled and
yeah,
I repent of that and I'm sorry of that, and I can and I'm restored.
Right, and you know, many times Paul in the letters to the different communities is he's telling them, you know, you're warring against the flesh, the spirit and the flesh war against each other.
Yeah,
you know, so you got to put away the old things. You got to put away the old self and put on Christ.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Well, we'll come back with that.
I hear music. Wow. Second break. Second segment already over. This is the Gift of Grace, and we're on the internet at giftofgraceministries.org. If you want to hear some of the radio shows, see some Bible teachings, and we'll be back in just a minute after this short break.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word.
I will follow. I will listen. I will love.
Listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. When we went to the break, Steve was about to read an awesome passage from Ephesians, so I want you to take it from there.
Okay. This is Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 1. I then, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call.
Mm.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. So I declare and testify in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds, darkened in understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance, because of their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have handed themselves over to licentiousness for the practice of every kind of impurity to excess. That is not how you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard of him and were taught in him, as truth is in Jesus, that you should put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self created in God's way in righteousness and holiness of truth.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I think it is so fitting in this time of Advent that the Lord brought us to talk about this, because, you know, it wasn't something I was, mm-hmm. planning on doing, mm-hmm. but I kind of got this over the last week, and I thought it was actually for something else, but it wasn't.
All works together for
all
the
works together for the glory of God.
That's Romans chapter 8.
Yes. And in this, Paul's saying you have to put away the old self.
Yeah.
He knows firsthand the flesh is warring, spirit and the flesh battle.
Yeah.
But you have to put away the old self and put on the new self, that you're renewed in Christ, and that you're living a life that is pleasing to God.
Right. Yeah.
And that you're glorifying God through that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's awesome. It fits right into what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And, since we're in Romans chapter 7, in 19 and 20, it's kind of awesome because, I'll read part of it here. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that's what I do.
Yeah.
Now, how many people can identify with that?
Everybody.
Everybody. I mean, everybody. And, it's later, a little bit farther down, he says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members.
Yeah.
Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Whew. Amen.
I mean, this is another great example of what he's been talking about, because he delights in the law. David says, I delight in the law and I meditate on the law day and night. Well, David was a disaster. He was violating the law left and right, but he loved the law and he meditated on it in his heart, but he didn't keep it.
Right.
Paul says, I love the law and I think about it and it's holy and I love it. But there's this war going on in my members. There's fighting. There's this anxiety and frustration. I love the law, but I'm not keeping it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like in my mind, I'm serving the Lord and I love him and I want to do these things. But in my flesh, I'm not doing those things.
Exactly.
The things I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing.
Yeah.
So he says, you can hear the frustration when he says, oh, wretched man that I am. It's like, I'm such a loser.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
I mean, he's clearly seeing that without the salvation, without the remission of sin through the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
He's in a terrible state.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You
could just feel his frustration.
One that he himself knows he can't bring himself out
of. That's right.
On his own. Yeah.
Yes, because he says, who will deliver me from this? And he says, thank God it's through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Who's going to deliver me from this?
Yeah.
And that's the frustration that's in all of us. Because
mm-hmm.
even when we want to follow, that's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, now I did this.
Yeah. And that's... that's the essence of Advent, is to quiet ourselves and look to the Messiah and anticipate his, not only the first coming when he came to earth the first time, but to anticipate the second time that he comes and returns. And he finds us going about doing God's will.
Yeah.
That he finds us busy with the work of the kingdom, not apart from him, but in God's will, doing the work of the kingdom.
Amen.
And not satisfying our own emotions, our own desires, and those types of things.
And we have to keep that good news. You know, we always talk about the good news of Christianity, but Paul, you know, sums it up in many, many places. And this is another place. I love the law and I want to do it. And I don't do it. Why don't I do it?
Yeah.
You know, who's going to deliver me from this?
Yeah.
And it's the good news.
Mm-hmm. And he just, I mean, he's so, I don't want to say eloquently, but so heartfelt. It's such a, you know, it's such a heartfelt conviction that he just expresses this from the, from the depths of his being.
Yeah.
You know, from the depth of his heart, he's expressing this.
Yeah.
And in this, you know, God uses him as such a powerful vessel to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim that message of reconciliation to not only the Jews, but the Gentiles.
Amen.
And his writings are such that they've, you know, the foundation of the church, there's so much of a foundation of the church because he's speaking about the gospel of Christ and the life that a Christian should live and should, you know, just live as a disciple of the Lord, humble, not self-serving, but serving others. And, you know, Jesus came as an infant, a helpless infant, laying in a manger, and was at really the mercy of his mom and dad to take care of him.
Yeah,
obviously Joseph was a foster father, but it shows, it just shows the awesomeness of God's plan.
Amen.
That he would choose to bring the Savior into the world in this manner that he was cared for by human beings.
Oof. Amen. Wow. Well put. That was awesome. Wow. I don't have anything to add to that. Wow. End of another show. Well, it's been awesome being here again. And next week we're going to be back with an Advent show and maybe two Advent shows over the next couple of weeks. Who knows? But have an awesome evening, and I hope you're having an awesome Lord's Day. And Steve and I will be back next week.
Hope you're having an awesome season of Advent, preparing your heart for the coming of the Messiah. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.